Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bishop, you recently just came back from a trip to Rome and the Vatican. Feel free to tell us about the purpose of your trip and what exactly you got the chance to discuss with Pope Leo.
Okay, well, first of all, it was a great privilege to be able to meet with the Holy Father. I met with him on the last day of our trip there. That's why we had to extend it a little bit. And he couldn't have been more gracious, and he assured the people of Buffalo of his prayers and his prayers for all of us. I had an opportunity to talk about the diocese. We presented him with a Bills jersey, you know, number 14, which is, you know, Leo the 14th, and he was grateful for that. He smiled, and I also presented him with a book on the life of Monsignor Nelson Baker, and also a picture of Father Baker, and he was familiar with them and smiled and said thank you. So again, grateful for that. We had a nice discussion. He was a good listener, and I told him about all what we're experiencing here in the diocese, and what a joy it is to be bishop also here. And you know, he was very grateful for that, and encouraged me to continue in what we're trying to do and bring healing, obviously, to the diocese.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what was the dialogue and the conversations like with Pope Leo? One of the things that we haven't gotten the chance to ask you about is your thoughts on Pope Leo being named as the new pope after Pope Francis's passing. Just what were your takeaways and just your thoughts overall?
Well, from what I've, in my study of church history, I always see there is, though we might think the popes are different, there is a great continuity between with their teaching. And in fact, Pope Leo just came out with a new encyclical on our preferential option for the poor, and part of that was a continuation of Pope Francis. But I never thought we would ever see an American pope. So I think a lot of us were taken by surprise. It's certainly a joy, you know, that he brings, I think, the experience of the Americas, as Francis did in some way, but the North America. And he's a good listener. He understands and is very empathetic I think truly understands what we're experiencing, particularly here in the church in the United States. So very easy to talk to. He, again, mostly listening and encouraging. You know, he was very encouraging me and concerned. He even asked me twice about, you know, how am I doing? You know, I think concerned that, you know, as he is with a lot of the bishops who are experiencing a lot of the stress in terms of what they have to, I think, confront.
What is an American pope? Do you think bring what does that bring to the Vatican and the Catholic Church as a whole?
Well, I think we have quite a work ethic as Americans, you know. So he brings not that the Italians don't, you know, but I think he's got a, you know, I think there's all a very disciplined I think work ethic there. I think we still have in this country a very strong parish structure, where in many, even in Europe, that has fallen apart. So we still, how are we doing that now? We're challenged here in the Northeast and trying to keep those together. I think we bring that experience of how we approach parish life. Also, the variety of cultures. We have the United States is just a cauldron of various ethnic groups, and that diversity is what the church is all about. So I think our experience here in some ways reflects what the overall church might offer.
Now, focusing a little more on the local goals, and I'm not sure what more you talked about with Pope Leo on your visit, but obviously the road to renewal continues, and some of the mergers have not necessarily fallen apart, but just they've changed a little bit with the way that some of the parishes have been allowed to reopen under the order of the Vatican. Just your thoughts in terms of where things go from here with road to renewal and just the process overall with the parishes that are appealing the their mergers or closures and allowed to reopen?
Well, in two things. We were encouraged, first of all, to work closely with the various dicasteries as well as to continue with the process. You know, we were assured that we are following the process. Now, there's always going to be questions when we get into the specific. We weren't getting into specific parishes and things like that. Mm-hmm. It was more of just looking at how we're moving forward with the process of things. I wanted to make sure also that I wasn't just focusing on those dicasteries that were administrative, like clergy and bishops. Bishops obviously are concerned about the bishop and how we're administering the diocese, but also encouraging us to work with clergy, you know, in the mergers and the closures. These aren't easy issues, but they want to work with us. So that was really getting to know one another better for me to know who's over there and working there, but also going to some of the other dicasteries like evangelization, which would I think speak a lot to more of the road to renewal, you know, where the other two might speak more to the chapter 11 and the bankruptcy. Evangelization would talk to our pastoral, our sacramental, and our educational and initiatives in our parishes, in our family of parishes. So I wanted to get a sense from them, what are some things that, you know, what are good practice, best practices that you might be hearing in other dioceses? And they encouraged us to really look at nurturing and fostering more small communities of faith, you know, which is what our pillars are doing. And I think we're finding success in those family of parishes that are implementing the pillars. We're challenged in the ones that aren't. So that's where you're always going to have, I think, questions and opposition. And we have to try to work with that. And that's, again, was the encouragement. We, you know, work with your people. So that's evangelization. We also went to the dicastery for the pontifical protection of children and vulnerable people. That was an important, I thought, I wanted to go there just so that to make sure that we're doing all that we can for the safe protection of our people and our schools and in our parishes. They encouraged us, well, you know, certainly to continue in our audits, working through, because that's what tells us that we're following our policies, but also to look at our, like when there's surveys, that like CARA, that we cooperate with them, because what that does is it gives the church the ability to look at, okay, what as church overall can we be doing better, but also as a diocese. Went to one of the institutes and spoke to a Jesuit priest who is heading up, again, a study in a more positive manner of child protection and, those who are vulnerable. His was more, this can't just be a requirement of the church. It has to be seen as integral, an integral part of our ministry and our, and even moving forward with a sense so that our people always have a sense of safety, but an understanding of who we are as a people of God. So looking at this, at the sort of the both sides of the administrative, which unfortunately I think that's what takes up a lot of our attention and our angst, and you know, but we should be equally concerned about also the pastoral life of our parishes, and that's where the people can be very engaged in helping with that.
Has it surprised you in a way with the Vatican's decision to reopen some of the parishes here that were part of the Road to Renewal with the merger or closure?
Well, so far we've had, we had 32 appeals. Of the 32 that we've received back, 11. And of the 11, 9, they upheld our decision. So we know we're following the process correctly. Two of them were rejected because they didn't follow the process. So we're still waiting on the others. We don't know what will happen there. We just have to continue to work through it.
The Chapter 11 reorganization, the bankruptcy settlement, where do things stand there? And just what do you have to say about the efforts here?
Well, you know, we hope to move forward. You know, part of my message when I went to Rome was the urgency that we're in, that we can't continue to be, you know, in this situation. It's depleting our resources. It's playing havoc on the morale and the faith of our people. And I think once we get through it, then we can look forward with a sense of hope. So that's the main thrust of it, that we can't continue. We're 5 years into it already. I wish we could have settled it, you know, but it's complex. We're dealing with a lot of issues, and unfortunately, a lot of hurt and great need of healing.
Another new element this year with the diocese is the startup of the new school system. How have you been pleased with that? I mean, your thoughts just in terms of how things have gone over the first nearly 2 months of school.
Yeah. Well, I had a chance to visit the schools during opening week, and there's a great spirit. Enrollment in many of our places is up, which is a good sign, because that's the lifeblood of having the students. And I think trying to look at our resources and what are the things that we can do together, have greater cooperation, and that's being done. That was really an important part of the strategic plan for our schools. We have a phenomenal superintendent now, you know, Jolene, and she's really got us a wonderful sense of how to also bring the principals together to give them a sense of hope and purpose and goals. And I feel very good. That's one of my priorities. Education has been one of my priorities, and I don't want to see any more schools closed. But that doesn't necessarily mean also that a school has to be in that classic structure. You know, I think we have to look at new ways at how we do that. The other thing that we need to also focus on are our children that aren't in the Catholic schools, that are in faith formation programs. The majority of our children are in those. So I think seeing it as a comprehensive plan, that would be, I would say, our next step in those regards. But education and formation, that's what brings us vocations and good Catholics, yeah. Good people of faith.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that point as well, I know that unfortunately what happened in Minneapolis drew about security issues too at some of these schools. And I know just before school did start, it was announced that there was going to be security measures and added officials at these schools. How has that gone so far? How is that going to continue throughout the rest of the school year?
Well, safety is an important part. You know, we have to make sure that our children are safe. It was so sad what happened that, you know, that's a place where they were in the midst of prayer. Where are you most vulnerable when you know, children in prayer? So it was how do you even defend, you know, that? So, you know, we felt it was important that we assured our people that we were doing all that we can. to address the safety of our not only the children and the students, but also our teachers. You know, we had a number of our husbands of teachers. What are you going to do to keep my husband or wife safe? So that was a real concern when that happened. And as always, we're always looking at how we make those a safe environment. Yeah.
So following the trip to the Vatican, to Rome, what is the long-term outlook in your eyes for the diocese, where things kind of go from here and the goals that you have set forth for the diocese and yourself?
Well, we have to continue to remain on course. You know, we have to continue to work through the intricacies of the process and some of the challenges that we have. But yeah, I'm a person of hope, and I think if we can do this together in unity, we'll get through it. But we have to be together. And that's a challenge. You know, I respect everyone's got different opinions, but ultimately we can't leave anyone behind in this. And we'll get through it. We'll get through it, and the Lord will have us moving forward, and we'll see what our next challenge is, huh? Yeah.
Very good. Anything else that you care to add that we haven't discussed in our conversation
today? No, just again to emphasize that the Holy Father certainly knows who Buffalo is, and offers his prayers, and I ask the people of the diocese to pray for him. He's got an awesome job.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.